I'm happy to be back home and see all your lovely faces. On my heart is something that is spoken to me, and that's a word in Psalm 103. Psalm 103, first. And this is the word here. It says, you know, it's a lovely psalm. The psalm of David. He praises the Lord for his mercies. Bless the Lord, O my soul, he says, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. And it says there, the Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. And this is the word, verse 7, which is spoken to me. It says, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. In verse 11, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. In verse 17, it says, the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. Yeah, it says there in verse 7, what I've been thinking of, it says, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. And this is what David writes about God's dealings with his people, the children of Israel, as they came through the wilderness. The 40 years, God made known his ways to Moses, but his acts to the sons of Israel. And they saw many of his acts, his works of power, signs of wonders. But it was to Moses that he made known his ways. It's the same today also, my brothers and sisters, that as God works today to fulfill his purpose in ours and your generation, he makes known his ways to a few people. Why only to a few people, you may ask? His acts to many people. Haven't you seen God's acts, works of power in your life and in my life? Many of us can testify to that. But it's only to a few that God makes known his ways. And like I said, why a few? Because it's only a few who are interested enough to ask God. And that's what we'll see. That's what Moses did. Most people want to see God's acts, his works of power, signs and wonders, like the children of Israel. They saw many. There was no miracles like what they saw in those 40 years in the wilderness. So many things. God healed them supernaturally, gave them water of the rock, fed them with manna from heaven. Never a man has seen what God did. They saw such tremendous acts of power. But they all died in the wilderness. And we are told that for 40 years, God was not pleased with them. And today, most people want to see God's acts. They want to see his works of power. They want to see signs and wonders. And most people, you know, they appraise a man of God, or they evaluate a man of God by what he does. If he heals people and many other things, they think this is a man of God because he does miracles. And that's how it's going to be. The Antichrist is going to be one who will do many signs and wonders, many supernatural acts of power. But we read here that God made known his ways to Moses. Which do you and I desire? That's a question that we can ask ourselves. Do we want to just see his acts, his works of power? You want to see Him supernaturally work in many situations, and we have. Or do we want to know His ways? The religious people of Jesus' day, they always crave for signs. Show us a sign to prove that you are the Christ. And it's no better today. In today's Christendom, today's Pentecostal and Charismatic Christendom, people want to see signs and wonders. They want to see supernatural healing, supernatural provision, so many things. But what do you and I want, my brothers and sisters? And like I said, the Antichrist is going to come with false signs and wonders and going to deceive people. And if possible, it says even the elect will be deceived. And Jesus Himself warned that many will be deceived. So how can you and I keep ourselves from being deceived? First of all, we have heard in this church, if we've been coming here, by loving the truth. Not only about Jesus, about Christ, but also about ourselves. To love the truth about ourselves. As well as 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And also by getting to know God's ways. God made known His ways to Moses. And David the psalmist in Psalm 25. If you turn with me there, Psalm 25. He says, "Make me know your ways, O Lord." Many times we read this. David was a man after God's own heart, and he says there in verse 4, "Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day." And then he says in verse 8, in the middle of verse 8, "He instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice. And He teaches the humble His way." He teaches the humble His way. And so the first thing, I want to share with you three things this morning, that we can preserve ourselves from being deceived, that we can really get to know God's ways. And the first thing that we learn here, it says that He teaches the humble His way. So if we are to learn God's ways, if God is to teach us His ways, we must be willing to humble ourselves. Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. You know that the Holy Spirit writes of that in Numbers chapter 12 in verse 3. It says the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. Numbers 12:3. That's what the Holy Spirit could testify of Moses. And that's why God revealed His ways to Moses. Jesus was the meekest man on the earth that ever lived on the earth. And that's why He could say to you and me, come to me, learn from me meekness and gentleness and humility of heart and find rest for your soul. So to learn God's ways, we first must be willing to humble ourselves and to learn humility from Jesus, not from books and messages. They can show us the way, but we can learn humility and gentleness and meekness only from Jesus. And He's willing to teach us if we come to Him. We must be willing in seeking to learn humility to allow Him to break us, to break our pride. Like we were sharing last Wednesday, to become a man of God, I must be willing to let God break me. And He breaks us in situations, He breaks us in our relationships with people, with one another, in the work spot, in the home. And if we are humble, we will submit to that breaking. He breaks our reputation, even our reputation for humility. God seeks to break us so that He can use us, so that He can make us men of God, so that He can reveal His ways to us. Psalm 25 that we looking at, it says in verse 12, "Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. His soul will abide in prosperity. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He will make them know His covenant. My eyes are continually toward the Lord, for He will pluck my feet out of the net." That's what God does. A humble man is a man who fears God. And the secret of the Lord, it says, is with them who fear Him. So if I humble myself, I allow God to break me, and I fear God, like we've always been reminded in this church, if I fear God, I need fear nothing else. Again in Psalm 27, we read in Psalm 27 verse 11, David says there, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes." Many times, Psalm 86 and verse 11, that's the prayer of David. This was the cry of David's heart, you know, just like Moses cried out to God, "Lord, show me your ways." Psalm 86, 11, it's a prayer of David. He says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. I'll walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I'll give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever. For your loving kindness toward me is great, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol." Your loving kindness. That's the first thing that we learn about God's ways. Loving kindness, His steadfast love, His unfailing love. And that's what we will see, that when God shows us His ways, that God abounds in loving kindness. So if I'm to know God's ways, I must be willing to let God humble me. I must be willing to learn humility from Jesus. I must be willing to let God break me. And the second thing, like I said, we have to ask God. Why is it that God reveals His ways only to a few people, only to Moses, and not to all those 600,000 people who came out of Egypt? Why only to Moses? Because Moses asked God. David asked God, "Lord, teach me your ways. Show me your ways. I'm not taken up with your acts of power, your supernatural provision and so many things." You know, David saw God do that in his life. Supernaturally work on his behalf, even putting him on the throne. But he says, "Lord, teach me your ways." And Moses cries out to God, "Lord, teach me your ways. Show me your ways." And we can receive nothing on this earth unless it is given by God. Everything that you and I receive on this earth is given by God. And that's why Paul reminded the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 7. He says, "Who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" Everything that you and I receive on this earth, good or bad, is from God. I hope we recognize that. So God can give us everything. Let us never forget that there's nothing that we receive that has not been given by God. And all arrogance and boasting is when we forget that. That whatever I have, I've received. I didn't earn it. I didn't get it on my own merit. It was not because I was some favorite of God. God is a good God. And that's why Jesus said, "If you earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give what is good to those who ask Him?" So we have a good Father who gives what is good. There's only one source that you and I get everything, and that's from heaven, that's from God. And that's why James says, you know, you ask and do not receive, because you ask. First of all, in James chapter 1, he says, you ask and you don't ask in faith. If you lack wisdom, and not only wisdom, if you lack anything else, I can ask God, but I have to ask Him in faith. And I should ask Him not for my own self. He says you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives. So Moses asked and pleaded with God, and he believed that God would reveal His ways to him. Not because he had to lead God's people. He was not just asking so that he can do a wonderful job. But he wanted to know God. He wanted to know Him personally. He wanted a personal encounter with God, and he saw the only way was not by seeing God's supernatural works that He did as they walked through the wilderness, but to know God's ways, to know Him for who He is, to know His character, to have a personal encounter with Him. Now, so in this connection, I want to look at Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. It says there in verse 11, Exodus 33. It says, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. I like that. Wouldn't you like that, my brothers and sisters, for God to speak to you face to face? Just as a man speaks to his friend. That's the relationship that Moses had with God. And we read on there, when Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Then Moses said to the Lord, verse 12, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I've known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know thy ways, that I may know you, so that I might find favor in your sight. Let me know. This is the prayer that Moses prayed. Let me know your ways. If I have found favor in your sight, if I have found grace, Lord, show me your ways. Let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I can continue to find favor or grace in your sight. And then he goes on to say, consider too that this nation is your people. And God said to him, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For then how can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, God will always answer that prayer, my brothers and sisters. Show me your ways. Let your presence go with me. And the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken. For you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. God responds, my brothers and sisters. We humble ourselves, and when we ask Him, Lord, show me your ways so that I can know you, that your presence can go with me. I may not feel that sometimes you're with me, but I know that you will go with me. We need to ask God, my brothers and sisters. We need to ask Him in faith. And God will respond. He says, I will do this thing of which you have spoken, because you have found favor in my sight. I've known you by name. Do you believe that? Do we find favor and grace in God's sight? If we humble ourselves, we will. God gives His grace to the humble. And I've known you by name, not by a number, but by name. That's the relationship God desires. And Moses did not stop there. I want you to see that in just asking God to show him his ways. And we must not stop there either. It says there in verse 18, then Moses said, when God assured him, I will show you my ways, my presence will go with you, then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. I like that. And we should not stop, my brothers and sisters, knowing God's ways, and He will reveal His ways to us. Lord, I want to see your glory. Show me your glory. And this is the third thing that we can boldly ask God for. Jesus said to Martha, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? That's God's purpose for every one of us who are part of His family, brothers and sisters. He wants to show us His glory. Not just His acts of power. He can work supernaturally on our behalf in different situations, whether it's healing, whether it's a job, whether it's marriage, whatever it is on this earth. Like I said earlier, everything comes from heaven. I don't have to run after it. God will add those things after us. And all the things that we have received, all the add-ons, whether big or small, comes from heaven. I don't have to pursue after it. But Lord, I want to see Your glory. I want to know Your ways. I want to see Your glory. And I want you to use your imagination a little bit here and go back in time to the situation and place that all this happened and when Moses prayed this prayer. You know the story. We don't have time to look at it. You know, Moses returned after spending 40 days in God's presence on the mountain when God gave him the 2 tablets of stone with the 10 commandments written by God Himself with God's finger. And then at the end of those 40 days, God suddenly tells Moses, go down quickly because the people have sinned. The people you brought out of Egypt have sinned against me. So he picked up Joshua on the way down the mountain and he came down to the bottom of the mountain and he saw what happened. The people he led out of Egypt were gone out of control. They were eating and drinking and dancing, and they made Aaron had made a golden calf for them and said to them, this is your God who led you out of Egypt. And Moses got so angry that he took the 2 tablets of stone and smashed them. And he took that idol that Aaron had built for them and broke it and smashed it and ground it into powder and mixed it in the water and made them drink it. Think of that situation. God was willing to finish them off. He said, I'll start all over again with you, Moses. I'm tired of this people. 40 years, they've seen my works of power. They've seen my acts. But they never sought to ask me that they may know my ways. Moses was the only one. He said, Lord, show me your ways. And in that situation, I want you to imagine that, where he prayed this prayer, where God said, I'm not going with you, I'll send an angel with you. He said, Lord, if you're not going to go with us, if you're not going to continue with us on this journey, call it off. Could you imagine how he felt? What do you think Moses would have liked to see there? When he cried to God, Lord, show me your glory. What do you think he would have liked to have seen? What do you think you and I would have liked to have seen in that present situation? Like Peter, like James and John, who wanted to call down fire from heaven. We would have liked to see that happen. Show me your glory. You want to see God manifest His holiness there. It says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's His glory too. We would have wanted to see His severity there. There's kindness and severity. But Lord, your severity. These people must see your severity. They must see your holiness. What would you and I have liked to have seen? Wouldn't you have liked to have seen that fire come down from heaven? All these people fall dead because of what they had done. Imagine making a calf out of all the gold that God gave them from people they took. God told them to take it from people in Egypt because they worked there as slaves for so long. And what God had given to them, they made into an idol and said, this is your God. Imagine that. And Moses says, Lord, show me your glory. And he must have been thinking, now fire will come down from heaven. What was the Lord's response? This is what's spoken to my heart. The Lord says, verse 19. Imagine that situation. I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. And he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Then the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it'll come about, while my glory is passing by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed away, until I have passed. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. I'll make all my goodness pass before you. You get it? Think of the situation there. Think of these people out of control. There's sex orgies, eating, drinking, dancing. And Moses would have liked to have seen God manifest his anger and his wrath there. But God says, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. And we see that happen in chapter 34, and God told him to come back up the mountain again with the two tablets. God told him, cut out two tablets of stone. He rose up early, verse 4 in the morning, he went up to Mount Sinai, and the Lord had commanded him, took two stone tablets in his hand. The Lord descended in the cloud, and the Lord stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaim, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. And Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. And then he says, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, I pray, let the Lord go along in our midst, even though the people are so obstinate, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as far as your own possession. That's how God manifested his glory, my brothers and sisters. And the Lord showed him his glory in answer to his cry. The Lord says, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious. That is God's glory. Have we seen it? Then we'll be slow to anger, and we'll abound in loving kindness and truth. That's spoken volumes to me. It's the opposite for us, because we get a different picture of God. The glory we see is not the glory of God. We are so quick to come down on people. We are so severe. We are so hard and demanding, because we have not seen God's glory. We are so quick to get angry, so quick to speak, when the Holy Spirit says that we should be slow to anger and slow to speak. We have not seen God's glory. And that's why we must humble ourselves, and that's why we must ask God, Lord, show me your ways, that I may know you, that I can get grace in your sight. Show me your glory. God doesn't deal with us according to what you and I deserve. I hope we recognize that. He doesn't deal with us according to what we deserve. Nor does he deal with others the way we think they deserve. I hope you recognize that too. Jesus had to say to James and John, you don't know what spirit you're of. We're so quick to come down hard on others. But if James and John had an excuse, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. You and I have the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters. And we can see the glory of God. We can see that he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. I like that word. And that comes 4 times in the scripture. Abounding, speaking of God and speaking of His glory, abounding in loving kindness. Psalm 103, we read that there in verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That's Psalm 103. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. I like that. He knows our frame. He knows the situations. He knows the pressures. He knows that we are but dust. He is gracious and compassionate, my brothers and sisters. He abounds in loving kindness. He understands. He understands what you've been through. He understands what you've gone through. He understands why you failed. We can be so hard and demanding, especially with those who live with us 24/7. Oh, that we can see more of the glory of God, that He abounds in loving kindness. He's slow to get angry. He's gracious and compassionate, quick to forgive. Joel in chapter 2. Speaking of the day of the Lord, Joel chapter 2, verse 12. He says, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart." This is Joel, you know, calling God's people to repentance. "And with fasting, weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger." We read that again. "Abounding in loving kindness and relenting of evil." Abounding in loving kindness. This is God's glory. Let's see it, my brothers and sisters. And we can only see it if we ask God, "Let me know your ways. Teach me your ways, Lord." I want to be taken up with your acts of power, with your miracles, with what you have done, even supernaturally in my life. I want to know your ways. I want to see your glory. Show me your glory. And we see that He abounds in loving kindness. So may we ask the Lord, my brothers and sisters, to make known His ways to us. We don't know God's ways because we don't ask. That's why it's only to a few. Most people want to see God work supernaturally. We want to see God deal with people. You know, especially if we are affected. We would like to see fire come down from. When something goes wrong, we think, "Yeah, because that's the way He treated me." We have not seen the glory of God. May God help us. Jesus has revealed to us the glory of God. He came, the Word that became flesh, and showed us, it says, glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When the scriptures were handed to Him in the synagogue the very first time, and He read, and He got up and read from the book of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And He spoke of the acceptable day of the Lord and stopped in the middle of that verse. We've heard that many times. He didn't speak of the day, acceptable year of the Lord. He didn't go on. There was a day coming, a day when God's wrath, that day is still to come. But we are living in the acceptable year, the year of favor, my brothers and sisters. We've heard that in the church, Brother Zach and Shane, that God gives us a year of favor. And He only speaks of one day of judgment, and He's reluctant for that day to come. But He gives us favor. And that's why David could praise God, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." David wanted to know God's ways and he wanted to see God's glory. And may that be our prayer. Not that we get a reputation that we are spiritual, we are humble, that we want to know God, because we want to have a personal encounter with him. We want to have a personal relationship with him. We want to see his glory. We want to be like him, to abound in loving kindness. David says there, he redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. That's what happens. When we see the loving kindness of God, we'll become younger in heart. We become more tender, more merciful. We'll not age so quickly, spiritually speaking. That's what David testified. He crowns you with loving kindness, Psalm 103, and compassion. Satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. You want your youth to be renewed like the eagle? Pray that prayer of Moses. Lord, show me your glory. Help me to see that you are bound in loving kindness and crown me. Not something for me to admire, that I can be crowned myself in this life on earth. There's a crown of righteousness that is waiting for us. Like Paul said, the crown of righteousness. But on my one life on earth, I want to be crowned with loving kindness and compassion. I want that with all my heart, so that I can manifest God's glory to others, that I can bless others God brings across my path, that I can know God in a way that I'm taken up with him, and nothing else really matters in this earth. May God help us and really put that in our hearts. Lord, I want to know your ways. Show me your glory. Amen.